Lena from the Declutter Me podcast. Today, I'm very happy. I've got a guest from Scotland, which is my favourite country I still haven't been to. I love the accent though, so I'm going to be like just grinning the whole time you're talking. But I want to welcome Kate, who is a Glasgow-based productivity coach and professional organiser. She's been helping people to organise and get them to have a better work-life balance and focus on what's important to them, right? And how long have you been doing this?
Just over 3 years now.
3 years, yeah. Blimey. Time flies, doesn't it? I saw you when you just started. So we're going to today talk about time management because that's what you specialise in. So, it's something much more structured, much more organised, and it's more, I find, in-depth, you know, when you're with the client, isn't it? And it takes longer sessions. So, and it's not something I do very often. I do a few with some clients, but you're a specialist in it. So I thought it'd be great to hear about what you do. So first, you know, what were you doing before you became an organizer? I always ask, our guests this because I'm always fascinated.
Well, my background has always been in PA and administrative support roles.
Right.
Latterly, I was actually the HR advisor for a global medical company. And I was doing that for about 7 years. And then I was a stay-at-home mum. So I was doing that for a few years. And then after my period as a stay-at-home mum, that's when I moved into organising.
Right. Okay. And what made you become an organizer? Was it because of the PA work you were doing?
Yeah. So basically what I wanted to do was use the skills and experience that I'd gained through my work, through my working life. And I wanted to combine them in such a way that I could make a positive impact in other people's lives. And I love all things decluttered, right, and organized. Okay. And basically, I wanted to work flexibly around the children. And then when I discovered the Association of Professional Declutterers and Organisers, and I realised that it existed as an industry, then I basically designed my business around that. So that was how I got into it, really.
Wow. Okay. So you specifically designed your business on doing this kind of admin, time management, from the start. That's brilliant, because I mean, when I started, I thought I was going to do offices because I used to be compliance officer and legal, and I ended up doing houses. Yeah. I do wardrobes and kitchens mostly. So it's weird. Like, I'm always fascinated, like, how people start their businesses, and the fact that you're doing exactly what you planned.
That's
very organized.
Well, originally at the very start, there was an element of PA work available as well, but actually as the business has grown, it's just organically shifted more to time management and productivity rather than any kind of PA tasks as such.
Right. And when you say time management productivity, for our listeners who might not know, what does that mean? What's involved with that?
So really what I help people with is we look at how they're currently managing their time. Most of the clients that I work with are usually self-employed females who are perhaps juggling business responsibilities, quite often alongside family commitments as well. And what we look at is how they manage their time. Obviously, we've all got so many hours in a day. And we look at how can they most effectively manage their time so that they are balancing all the different commitments that they have, and maintaining some kind of work-life balance as well.
Okay. And how do you find there's... I'm sure there's different aspects to consider,
are quite similar. Example, as I say, they're perhaps juggling childcare commitments as well as work commitments. They're perhaps managing a household as well. in terms of the specific challenges that people have, there are obviously always going to be those individual ones, but there's yep. quite often common themes. For example, people may be feeling a bit overwhelmed with the amount of tasks that they want to try and get through in a day or a week, and managing their time effectively so that they're not spending all their time at home working, you know, they can sort of start to establish some boundaries between work and home, etc.
Right, yeah. And how do you get them to stop, you know, doing the work, like, you know, working all the time, especially when they're at home, and tell them to, like, get them to go out or do the other things, you know, how do you get them to that point?
Well, again, it really depends on the individual client. But what I would usually start by doing is looking at their existing setup in terms of their diary and right. how their time is spent. We will look at, you know, what is and isn't working for them. You know, so what are the what are the pain points or the struggles that they have in terms of their calendar? We'll establish what are the absolute non-negotiables that they absolutely want to keep in terms of their commitments and activities. Right. And to bring in an element of decluttering, we will also look at, is there anything that can actually be removed or delegated or outsourced? Right. So although we're dealing with tasks and time as opposed to physical objects, there is an element of the decluttering and organizing approach to it as well. So we, you know, we declutter, then we organize.
Wow, that's good. That's fascinating that you have to do that, that you have to declutter some of the things that are in the diary before, you know, you can organize it and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about diary. Is it all on, you know, online using calendar, you know, on the computer, or do some people want to still use the paper diaries? How's it work nowadays?
It really depends, to be honest. I don't think there's no kind of one size fits all. I mean, I like Google Calendar. I also like Office 365. But I have also previously used a paper diary, and for some people, the electronic diaries just don't compute for them. They either just don't like them, or they're not comfortable with them, or they don't trust them. So for whatever reason, a lot of people will just naturally, most people will naturally veer towards one or the other. Most people have a preference. So what I do is, as I say, there's no one size fits all. So I don't say, well, you have to use Google Calendar because that's my approach. What I do is I say, well, what works for you? You know, what do you like about that approach? And then we try to tailor it to what suits them as an individual. So although a lot of the, you know, the demonstrations, etc., that I might do would be on Google Calendar, simply because it's just easy to show people on an electronic calendar. If the client's preference is they want a paper-based system, then I will help them to identify what's the best way of going about that. And I'll work with the client's preference.
Right, yeah. But what happened, I mean, I have a friend, she is very, and, you know, I helped her to do her time management as well, but she's only using Filofax. So, and I find it, you know, there's wasting that extra time because you have to write the same things. Like, she has a meeting every Monday, a networking meeting.
Yeah.
And she has to put that in the diary every Monday. And I'm like, you know, if you did it in Google Calendar, it just does it automatically in a second, you know. So how do you balance that, you know?
Well, you'll know the phrase that, you know, for every minute spent organizing, an hour is earned. And I love that phrase, because I think if you invest the time to plot out your activities in your calendar, whether it's on Google or in a Filofax, any investment of time in terms of getting those things plotted out and organized, will definitely reap benefits, because it might save you time later on. It means you can you can easily see how your time is going to be allocated. And actually, for people whose preference is paper-based, I think research has shown that it's about 55% more likely you're more likely to retain the information if you've written it. And and for some people, the actual repetition of writing it again and again helps their retention and their clarity around around that activity.
That's true, actually, yeah, because sometimes I write things on the Google Calendar, and because I don't remember, you know, you do it so quickly and you don't remember, and if it sometimes doesn't come up, then you completely forgot it until somebody reminds me, which is usually Chirag, when you know, he reminds me we're doing a podcast recording and it hasn't shown up.
and one thing that I think with the paper-based system, one thing that's quite nice about it is, I mean, I know there's a lot around at the moment about journaling and the benefits of journaling. So that's not for everyone. Not everyone particularly wants to journal. But for those people that maybe don't want to journal, again, the actual act of writing things in their diary is a form of journaling, and it's just getting it out of your head and getting it onto paper.
Yeah, no, that's true, actually. That's really true. You know, do you use a particular system when you're doing this, like getting things done, or is it, you know, you said that you have, it just depends on the person, but do you use any of these kind of systems?
Well, I really love the getting things done system. I don't use a set approach as such. So any approach that I have with a client is very client led. As I say, there's no one size fits all. I do often highlight the getting things done system because there's a few tips in that. Well, there's lots of tips in that book, but there's a few that I really love and that I will generally highlight in my training or in my one-to-one sessions with clients. So for example, the 2-minute rule is, you know, if something's going to take you 2 minutes or less, just do it.
I love it.
I love that one. I love the weekly review. The fact that he suggests that you set aside an appointment with yourself every week to review your calendar, your activities, what's coming up. So there are definitely elements of that approach that I really like. But I've also taken elements of other approaches, and I really just sort of cherry pick, if you like, what is going to be most appropriate to the client that I'm working with at the time, well as just approaches and techniques that I've found that have personally worked for me. And I just tailor it to what I think would be most appropriate for the client and what they're going to benefit most from.
Right. Okay. And as we're talking about this, have you got any tips and tricks for people if they want to start doing it themselves?
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing that I would say is I really recommend taking a diary-led approach. So what I generally suggest is that people try to get away from to-do lists, because I think to-do lists can feel very overwhelming, never-ending. And it can be quite exhausting if you're having to constantly scan that list and try and work out what your priorities are. And there's difficulties with to-do lists. You know, there's various issues, if you like, with to-do lists. So what I encourage clients to do is use their diary as what I would call a productivity plan, and think of that as the visual template of how they want to spend their time and where their set activities and commitments fall into that. What I generally say is centralize your tasks into your diary rather than having them on a to-do list or sort of fragmented across lots of different resources and notebooks and post-its and platforms. And then what to do is attach what the items that you would typically have on a to-do list, attach your to-dos to whens. So actually schedule when you're going to do your to-dos. And actually, again, with research that has shown that there's a 75% better chance of a task being done if it's scheduled. So again, to shift away from a to-do list approach into a very diary-led approach, it's a really sort of proactive way of managing your time rather than reactive. And again, that's something that clients often say to me when I start working with them, is that they feel they're just constantly firefighting, reacting to whatever comes their way, whereas I try to encourage a much more proactive, intentional approach to how they determine their time is going to be spent.
Wow, that's actually fascinating, because I am, I use a calendar religiously, but I also do a to-do list. I've done it the getting things done kind of way, that there's groups of things.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, when you talk about it, I'm like, actually, yeah, that could work.
Yeah.
You know, doing everything and putting it into a time of when you're going to do it. So, which is practically what I'm doing for a lot of things, but you know, yeah, actually, and it's apps, so it declutters the apps as well.
And actually,
so
one thing that I really, really encourage people to do is to take a wee bit of time to, if you're using Google Calendar, for example, take a bit of time to really explore the different functions. So, for example, if you've put, say you've blocked out an hour in your calendar to do your social media, what you can then do is, within that calendar entry, you can then do like a wee mini to-do list. So almost like a checklist of, well, what does an hour of social media look like? So you you can put some notes, you can use the notes section. As you said, you can use the recurring appointments. You can you can attach documents, you can add links, you can do all that within a wee, within a calendar entry. So I just really encourage people to explore those things and think about how that could really work for them personally.
That's a true point. I mean, because I use the Apple one, but I think I have Google Calendar on my phone because it looks good, because if you put the map, you put the location of where you're going, it comes up with a picture of the location. So it's good when you put a restaurant.
Yeah,
used to have restaurants we're going to that restaurant tonight. So I have to check out all the functions on Google Calendar. That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
And once you put things in there, the search function on Google Calendar is really good as well. So, you know, if you say, for example, you had like a wee mini checklist within a calendar entry, but you can't quite remember where that is, as long as you can remember a sort of like a keyword, then you can find it. So, and it just it just keeps it all centralized. It means you're not having to think about all the different places that information might be, because you're just centralizing it as much as practical.
And I mean, that's why I'm more a lover of the digital one, even though I like writing, the fact of writing it. But yeah, the digital one makes it so much easier, because you can just copy and paste and recur, and it's brilliant. Excellent, thank you. This has been fascinating. Like, you know, and even I've gotten tips now to sort out my life as well. And if people want to talk, so you're doing virtual sessions right now, aren't you?
Yes, so I do one-to-one sessions with clients, but I've also got a series of webinars that I've just started. So the next one is next week. So I'm doing webinars at the moment specifically around diary management, and then I'm subsequently going to be adding some other webinars into the program as well. So lots of virtual work,
awesome.
Whether it's one-to-one or groups, and just I don't know what I would do without Zoom, but it's great.
So how can people contact you if they want to know more about, you know, to sort out their diaries and their time management?
The best thing to do is to either contact me through the website, which is betterorganised.uk.
Right.
Or they can get me on LinkedIn. If they just search for my name, Kate Galbally, they can find me easily on LinkedIn and then just connect with me on there.
All right, awesome. All right, thank you so much again, Kate. It's been amazing.
You're welcome. Yes, right, thanks so much for having me. See you soon.
Nice to speak to you
Bye.
Soon.
Bye.